Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Listener, in part one of this two-part series, I introduced you to Joe Winko, an eccentric man with many obsessions and a growing fascination with the dark. In this episode, we reach Joe Winko's end, but not before we continue his story. I mentioned before in the first episode that this is a subject and case and person that has affected me on a personal level. He lived right down the road from me. And he seemed like a strange but good-natured guy. But back to the main story. Joe Winko's morbid preoccupations continued. His grave visits increased. Oftentimes, he would meet fans or men through dating apps who would take Joe on a road trip. This was essential to his hobby because Joe couldn't monetize his YouTube channel. In one video, Joe took the time to explain why he visits graves.
This episode of Joe Winko Talk is going to be about why I do videos of me leaving flowers by people's graves. So those of you who've been following me for a while would realize this. I actually do a lot of videos of me leaving flowers by people's graves, mainly people who I've read about online because I read a lot about deceased people online all the time. And I always think it's sad when a person dies. Almost always think it's sad when a person dies. And I always believed in the term, do unto others as they do unto you. As in, if I ended up dying, I would want someone to do a video of them leaving flowers by my grave. And for those of you who don't know, I always wanted half of my ashes scattered into the Ohio River. Preferably in Louisville, Kentucky, because that's a river that I'm spiritually connected to, but anywhere along the Ohio River would be fine. That's why in every single video that I have of me being driven over the Ohio River, you hear that gloomy piano song playing in the background. It's because that's where I want my ashes to be scattered into the Ohio River. But I also wanted half of my ashes buried in a cemetery in Ocala, Florida, because that's a town that I always wanted to live in, and a town that I've always been obsessed with, especially since I wrote a piano song about it. And also the reason why is because I did want to have a grave so people could come visit my grave and leave flowers by my grave. Just don't smile if you're doing videos at my grave, though. Unless you're talking about a happy memory, because whenever I do a grave video, I never smile in any of my grave videos, unless I'm talking about a happy memory that I have of the person, but literally almost all of them are people who I've never met before. I just think it would be really messed up to smile on someone's grave. I always try to talk in a monotone, kind of like how I'm talking now, because I don't want to talk in a happy, excited voice. I mean, that would be really messed up, honestly. But I always make sure to talk in a monotone. I'm not sure if anyone actually noticed this, but the color of the flowers I leave on the person's grave depends on the person whose grave I'm visiting. So if the deceased person's grave I'm visiting is a female of any age, then I basically leave almost any color flower by her grave, and almost any type of flower by her grave, and almost any color except red. I never leave a red flower on a female's grave at all, but any other color except red. Usually pink if it's a white female, and purple if it's an African-American female, or yellow if it's an African-American female. But to be completely honest, I don't really follow that specific rule very often. And now, if the deceased person whose grave I'm visiting is a male, who wasn't an adult at the time of their death, then I leave a red flower by their grave that's not a rose. However, if the deceased person whose grave I'm visiting is actually an adult male, then I leave a red rose on his grave. However, there is one more. If I'm visiting the grave of someone and I'm actually glad that they're dead, then I leave a black flower on their grave. Most of the people whose graves I'm visiting, most of them are buried really far away from where I live. Like, I always have to, like, hitch a ride to get to their grave and leave a flower by their grave. And the reason why I do that is because I feel sorry for that person, and I never want them to be forgotten at all.
Listener, the thing worth keeping in mind is that Joe wasn't visiting these graves for attention or money. No, while he visited the graves of popular names like Gabby Petito, he seemed to travel the country visiting these sites due to a mixture of empathy, relating, what he saw as a sort of spiritual bond, and, let's face it, pure morbid fascination. And hey, who are we to judge?
But there's one more thing that made me really angry once. Now, there's actually this whole thread started about me on Kiwi Farms, and people... I know Kiwi Farms is actually supposed to be like a hate site or something like that, but the people on Kiwi Farms, they're actually always nice when they talk about me, really. They actually, I mean, yeah, they do make fun of me, but it's never anything, like, extremely harsh. They actually like all my stuff, and they think it's funny and everything. But I remember, I think there was this one person who probably saw my post on Kiwi Farms, or, I mean, the post about me on Kiwi Farms or something like that, and they did a live stream reacting to some of my videos, like the videos of me leaving flowers by people's graves and everything, and they were, like, really upset about it for some reason. They said, why are you wearing that weird costume at the grave? I mean, does it matter what costume you wear at the grave? You're not making fun of the person or anything. The costume represents me, not them. I mean, gosh. But then I started reading the comments on their live stream that they did reacting to my video, and there was one thing that the people were saying that really pissed me off. The one comment that they all were typing is, they were typing in, I hope he isn't making any money off of his grave visiting videos. And that pissed me off, that they seriously thought that I was going to these people's graves just for money. It actually always pisses me off when people think that I make money off my YouTube videos, because the truth is, I do not, and I do not want to either. I make my YouTube videos to share what goes on inside my autism mind, because I feel like someone would actually find it interesting. But the major reason is to get my thoughts and share what goes on inside my autism mind and leave my mark on this world, because one day I'll be dead, and I just want to make sure there's something left of me.
One of the more crackpot ideas I have about true crime, morbid subjects, and exploring the abyss in general, is that this all comes at a cost. You see, listener, you can put whatever you like into your noggin, but you will never get to choose what you take out of your mind. All these morbid interests began to take a toll on Joe Winko, and sometimes, at night, Joe was visited by the dead.
I saw my biological father again, and it really freaked me out. I'm not sure if any of you guys ever had sleep paralysis. I don't really remember much of what happened. I just remember being really freaked out and terrified, and I did see my biological father. I turned on all the lights in my apartment because it freaked me out a lot. And what I remember, he was sitting in that chair. Right now I'm in my bed right now, but he was sitting in that chair. And usually when I see him in my sleep paralysis nightmares, he's like covered in shadow and I can't see him. Like, sometimes I can see part of him. Like, he wears a prison jumpsuit because he died in prison. He was wearing the prison jumpsuit and he was staring me right in the eye. And whenever I see him, he's usually always really angry and really pissed off, but when I saw him this time, he wasn't mad, he was smiling, and he looked so evil, and it freaked me out. I only remember looking at him for a couple seconds, and then I just woke up screaming, and it was terrifying.
Whenever Joe experienced an episode of sleep paralysis, it was always accompanied by the sound of running water. There in his bedroom would stand the gloomy visage of some lost soul from Joe's memory. His father, his best friend, his brother, his uncle, and of course the victims from the grave sites he visited. None of this was enjoyable to Joe. In fact, he found it terrifying.
Whenever the sleep paralysis episodes happened, I'd start hearing this noise and this sound. Whenever I heard this when I was younger, like really young, like 5, 6, or 7 before sleep paralysis, I'd always get freaked out for some reason and I'd start crying and I'd get really scared. This noise. That sound effect is actually the sound of water coming from a drain. And when I was really young, I didn't know why, but whenever I'd hear that, like if my adoptive mom was washing dishes and I heard that sound, and she'd always want me to try washing the dishes, but I could not stand it because I could not stand the noise of water, that water running back when I was little. When I feel the water, and it's so gloomy to hear that now, especially knowing that that's how my twin brother died. He was drowned in a sink by his own father. During my sleep paralysis episodes, I'd start hearing the water running. I'd see my biological father, and he was still hidden in shadow, and it was all still dark and gloomy, but I was able to see his face. It was clear, it was crystal clear, and I was able to see how pissed off and angry he was. Pissed off and angry that I didn't die with Crystal, and pissed off and angry that I'm still alive today. He'd be staring down at me, and his teeth would be showing, and his rotting dead teeth, and I'd smell him. He was all decomposed and dead because he's been dead since 1998, and he'd be staring down at me, and he'd be so pissed off that I'm still alive. And I'd hear that water running, and he'd be standing closer to my bed, and I'd hear that water running, and then I'd be staring up at him. I would just be staring him right back in the eye.
One reason Joe Winko identified so strongly with the dead is his multiple suicide attempts. He struggled daily with suicidal ideation, something Joe would attempt to give into throughout much of his life, dating back to his preteen years.
So anyone who's familiar with me, Joe Winko, will know that throughout my whole entire life, I have tried suicide countless times. I had reasons for every single time, but I've tried suicide countless times throughout my whole entire life. But if you guys want to know about the first time I have ever tried suicide, we're going to have to go way back. We're going to have to go all the way back. All the way back to year 2000. So this is me, back in year 2000. I was 4 years old at the time. That's me and my adoptive dad. My adoptive mom is the one that took that picture. My childhood was rough. I mean, it could have been a whole lot worse, but it absolutely was rough. And the older I get, the more I realize how rough my childhood was. My adoptive parents were not good people, especially my adoptive mother. The same year this picture of me was taken was when I first learned about suicide at 4 years old. My adoptive mother used to watch a lot of movies and a lot of stuff on TV, and every now and then I would be nearby. She never really did anything to make sure I didn't see it at all or anything like that. But every now and then I would be nearby and I would look over and watch it with her. And I remember she had one movie on TV. I don't know if it was a Lifetime movie or anything else. Basically what happened in it was a man committed suicide, and I remember it was suicide by hanging, and the movie also showed the effects of his suicide, what it had on everyone. People were sad about him committing suicide,
and some people were shocked. But I remember seeing that when I was 4 years old on TV, and I was able to understand that the man in that movie committed suicide because his life wasn't going good and he was unhappy and he wanted to be dead. And when I was 4 years old, I even remember exactly what I asked my adoptive mother for that day. I walked over to my adoptive mom and we were at home, we weren't out anywhere or anything, and I asked her if we could go to Walmart, go to one of the prize grabber machines, and if we could get a toy from the prize grabber machines, because I saw those machines at stores all the time and they always had really cool stuff in them. I believe that a reasonable parent would have just explained to me that those machines are actually scams, and if you put money in them, they just suck up all your money and you're not able to control the prize grabber thing at all and you're not able to get a prize from it, but they still keep your money. I would have understood that if they explained it to me, but she never did that at all. She absolutely would never explain stuff to me back when I was a kid, because she always felt like she didn't need to explain stuff to me. But this time, I remember we were at home, and I walked over to her, and I asked her if we could go to the store, and I asked her if she could get me a prize out of the prize grabber machine. And instead of explaining to me why we shouldn't, she just yelled at me very sternly and said, "No," like that. Just said, "No," because that's what she always would do. She would always yell at me and be very stern, and I always hated when she would do that. But I was only 4 years old, and I remember how I felt. My feelings felt very hurt. And I didn't get sad because I wasn't getting a toy from the prize grabber. I just did not like how she yelled at me. That's why I was sad. And then, right after that, I thought about hanging myself. Just like the guy in the movie had done. So later on that day, my adoptive mother was out working in her garden, because she had a garden in the backyard, and I was upstairs in my room, and I found a belt, and I was going to hang myself with the belt. So I didn't know exactly how to do it because I was only 4 years old, but I just remember I looped the belt around my neck, and somehow I got the other end of it like tied to a clothes hanger, and I was just standing there with a belt looped around my neck and the other end of it tied down to a clothes hanger with some string I found. I forgot exactly how I set it up. I think I was probably using two belts or something, but I remember the other end of the belt was somehow like either taped or tied to the clothes hanger. And I was just standing there with the belt around my neck, tied down to the clothes hanger. And I was really tall for my age, so I was tall enough to reach it. And I remember I was just standing there and thinking, okay, exactly when am I gonna die? Am I just gonna fall asleep or something while I'm standing here? What exactly is going to happen? How is this going to happen? And I was just waiting there, because I didn't really know that much about death, but I was imagining I just would like fall asleep or something. But I was just standing there with the belt around my neck, and my adoptive mother ended up coming in a few minutes later. She went into my room, and I think she was looking for me because I think she was calling my name. She opened the closet and she saw me there with the belt around my neck. I remember I was sad and I remember I was crying. I was actually sad and crying the whole entire time, actually. And she got mad and she started yelling at me for it, yelling at me even more for it. She yanked the belt off from around my neck and she was like, "What are you doing?" And she was like really mad and was just yelling at me and saying, "What the hell are you doing?" And she was like, "Don't do that!" And she yanked the belt from around my neck and she was yelling at me, and then I just ran away from her because she was yelling at me. So very soon after all that, my adoptive mother was downstairs and she told me to come here, and she was talking really sternly, and I was like, okay, I better before she slaps me or hits me. And she told me to stand still, and I remember she had a bottle and it was oil. and she put some of it on her thumb, and she made a cross symbol on my head, and she smeared this oil on my head in the shape of a cross, and I remember she said something. What she first said is, like, I think she said, Lord Heavenly Father or something like that, but I remember what she started chanting over and over again after that. She started going like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. 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 And I remember each time she would say it, that's exactly what she sounded like when she talked. That's the exact accent that she talked in. I remember each time she would say it, it would get more intense and she would get more angry and more emotional. Now, you guys have to remember, I was only 4 years old. So obviously I was getting freaked out by this and creeped out by this. I started crying and I remember shivering and everything. And she was like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I had no idea what she was doing. All I remember is that this woman slaps me around a lot and I had no idea what was gonna happen next. She just kept yelling at me. Yelling, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then after that, like, her yelling just got more and more intense till it got so intense that I didn't know what the hell she was going to do. But then she just shouted at me, like, this vicious shout. And she's like, don't ever try to hang yourself with belts. And then I was like, okay, I won't. And I was crying. And then, and then she walked away really angry, and I just backed away and just went up to my room because I was freaked out. I was glad that it was all over because that scared the heck out of me.
I thought about recounting more of Joe Winko's attempted suicide stories, but I think that would belabor the point. After many attempted suicides, repeated visits from the dead, and with his mental health spiraling, Joe decided to end things for good. He spent years planning his death. He dropped hints in videos, and planned and scheduled videos to release in the weeks after his death. On August 27, 2025, a Google Drive was shared to the internet that included Joe Winko's recorded suicide. His death was as strange as the way he lived. His bedroom was decorated with photos of suicide victims and murder victims, including Gabby Petito and Ronnie McNutt. He swallowed a solution I will not name here for legal and ethical reasons. Then he held on to a Green Ranger, Power Ranger, stuffed doll, laid down in bed, proceeded to die. Now, I can tell you his death was far more violent than one would expect. From what I understand, he got the solution incorrect, which caused Joe Winko to vomit blood and wine and spasm for almost 50 minutes. The following is Joe Winko's final recorded message to the world.
What's up, people? Joe Winko here, your favorite Hawaiian guy, and this is going to be the last video that I ever make. I'm going to die tonight, August 25th, 2025, 12:39 a.m. East Coast time zone. I tried this a couple nights ago, but I chickened out. I had to drink some alcohol so I wouldn't be afraid, but now I'm ready. 2025 has been the loneliest year of my life. All the years of my life have been lonely, but 2025 is where it got really bad. And what made things even worse, I was already ready to die. But what made things even worse is how people online reacted to it. I felt really alone, and I tried everything I could, but it wasn't enough. But now I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be with Rolf, and I'm going to be with Paige, and even Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and so many more besides that. Please make sure to get Naika Venet a gravestone. Please give this trophy to Gabby Petito. either give it to her family. If they don't want it, then give it to one of her friends. Have them choose who gets this trophy. I want Gabby Petito's family to choose who gets this trophy. I saw the spirit of Gabby Petito in my dreams, like so many others, and she told me that when I finally cross over into heaven, that she's going to take me on a road trip to California, where I always wanted to go back to. But it's not going to be the California on Earth, it's going to be the California in heaven. And Gabby Petito is going to drive me out there, because Gabby always loved going on road trips. And Rolf is coming with us. Rolf has been in my dreams every single night since February 24th, when I was researching suicide methods. Paige is going to be coming with us also. She's been in my dreams ever since March of 2025. She's been in my dreams. Rolf has been in my dreams ever since February of 2025. So those are going to be my friends in heaven, just some of them. There's also Chloe, and there's a lot more besides that. But we're all going to be together in heaven. Tell Nicholas Papathanu to put this in his next video about me. Tell Nicholas Papathanu to put this video in his next video about me. And tell the Mildricks, I don't know what was wrong with the Mildricks, he just started insulting me on Kiwi Farms for no reason. Tell him that I hope everything that happens to me happens to him next. Same with Nicholas Papathanu. Tell Jason Leinard that everything he touches dies. Tell Jason Leinard that everything he touches dies. Tell Jason Leinard that everything he touches dies. And send this video to him. To everyone watching this video, make sure this video stays online forever. And I never want to see my adoptive family again. I never want to see Paula again. I never want to see James again. I never want to see Jessica, Rochelle, Ryan, or Rochelle, Ryan, Jessica, or James Paul ever again. Tell them that I want a new family in my next life, a nicer one. I want to be sent to a world where people are nicer. I wasn't meant to find this in my life. I was not meant to find this. I was not meant to find this in this life, but I'll find it in heaven. I don't want to come back to this world ever again. I want to stay in heaven after I die. I just want to stay in heaven forever. I don't want to come back to this world. People are too mean. I'm ready to go. I never want to come back here, but I always want to be Joe Winko. I don't want to be anyone else but Joe Winko. I don't want to become anyone else but Joe Winko. I just want a different life where people are nicer and where I'm surrounded by nicer people who appreciate me. I just want that. Please hope that after I die, I go to heaven, and heaven is the exact way for me that I imagine it. Or that in my next life, I turn out exactly the same, but things go better for me in my next life. Please hope that. I have to go now. God forgive me, but I am about to join you now. And I ask God for many signs. I ask God for many signs, and every sign he sent me was just telling me that it's my time to go. I never wanted to get old. I want to be young forever. Forever 29. Forever 29. 1995 to 2025. Joe Winko. It's time now. It's time now. I forgot to say this, but Vin Love, you will always be my friend. Kylie, you will always be my friend. Kamina, Jay, James Jansma, Sim, I forgot what her name was, but she, you guys will always be my friend. Vin Love, I was lucky to have a friend like you. Kylie, I was lucky to have a friend like you. My spirit will always be with you guys. You guys will see me again, I promise. My spirit will always be with you guys. I was lucky to know you guys. I was lucky to know all of you. I have to go now. I was cursed long before. I was cursed long before I put this on. Long before I ever put this on, I was cursed before. But now I'm free. Now I will be free. Tonight I will be free.
Listener, I thought about including some of the post-death audio that he recorded and released to his YouTube channel in scheduled posts. But I think the best way for you to see and hear these would be to head to his YouTube channel. Just type in Joe Winko on YouTube to find them. But as far as this episode is concerned, I just want to say, wherever Joe Winko is, I hope he's found peace. I hope he's in heaven like he wanted, with his red pointy bandana and getting to return the favor to all the dead that visited him in his dreams. Wherever you are, Joe, I hope you're flying high